And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, y'all, Alabama. And I mean to say this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Like I always had to wipe my brow off when I said that.
Well, I have a feeling that intro is going to get even longer.
It's going to get modified. We're talking about some things on Monday. Just y'all stand by. Right Side's growing. But hey, by the way, speaking of which, though, Right Side's also changing its footprint somewhat. So those of you that listen to this overly broad range of radio on 101.1 FM out of Birmingham, just please know that will change January 1. All right, so we were in contract negotiations. Our time for the contract renegotiation was up, and we decided that at the end of the negotiations, the best thing for us to do was part ways. So we will not be on 101.1 FM out of Birmingham as of January 1. Those of you that listen to us there, just know this. It doesn't mean you can't get us, because you can get us anywhere in the whole wide world by going to the World Wide Web and just listen to us online. You can even watch the studio online. So if you go to YouTube, if you go to Twitch, if you go to Rumble, if you go to, you know, Twitter, X, or just to our website, rightsidemedia.org, you can watch and or listen to us. That's how Charlene listens to the show every day. She just pulls it up on her phone. So, yeah, please do it. In fact, if you haven't already figured it out, go to YouTube. That's one of the best ones. Go to YouTube and find the show. Right now, you can check it out. Make sure you know where it is. If you hit subscribe, that means you'll be able to find it quicker anytime. And those subscriptions actually, by the way, help us grow as a company. So there's that. January 1, change in the way we do business around here, but lots more happening, just to let you know. All right, now's the time when I get to almost sit back and just enjoy the moment, because JP is like sports guru. Like, I just kind of sit back in amazement every once in a while. So JP has his own radio show on Saturday mornings on the Ump out of Huntsville called Off the Bench. And so we started doing a sports segment, and it's just good. So every Friday, we do this thing called JP on Sports, and he does two segments. One's called the Three and Out, the other one's called the 2-Minute Warning. And I've actually got a stopwatch, and we time this stuff. But we still got to go with some sound effects. So hit it, man. JP on Sports. All right, dude, Three and Out. What you got for the top three stories in sports right now?
Well, we are the college football playoff is upon us. The new 12-team playoff starts this weekend. Actually starts tonight. The first game is tonight between Indiana and Notre Dame in South Bend. Number 10, or the 10th seed, Indiana, versus the 7th seed of Notre Dame. A lot of people are writing off Indiana in this one. Some people are saying they shouldn't have been in the first place, because their only ranked opponent they played all year was Ohio State, where they got dog stomped. So some people are wondering.
Dog stomped.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. But a lot of people are wondering how Indiana's going to do against some high-quality teams in the playoff, the best teams. So they got the work cut out for them going to South Bend today. We'll see how well the Hoosier fans can travel, because I think I saw some ticket prices for this game in particular, with it being at South Bend, Notre Dame, you know, traditional program, was like in the 2,000 to 3,000 for this game. Yeah, so we'll see if the Hoosiers can travel and help them out. But yeah, I anticipate this game will be Notre Dame pretty handily. I could be wrong. The Hoosiers may surprise me, and I feel like there will be some upsets for sure in the playoff in the first round. But I think Notre Dame is by far the better team in this one. So we'll see how much they win by, but I think I'm cashing in on a Fighting Irish win in this one.
All right. So Fighting Irish all the way. Here we go.
And the winner of this game will play Georgia in the next round, which apparently Carson Beck right now for Georgia is the starting quarterback, is not expected to play round one for the winner of this game.
Really?
So, yeah, he tore his – I don't know if he tore it, but he injured his UCL in his elbow in the SEC championship. So if Indiana can win this one, and then they may get some help not having to play Carson Beck for Georgia, they may just have a path to the Final Four. We'll see what happens there, but they gotta get this one first. This is gonna be a hard one for them, especially at Notre Dame. So
okay,
we'll see what happens.
All right, but you're still saying Fighting Irish.
Fighting Irish.
Fighting Irish. Yep. All right. Rudy.
For sure. Yep. But the next game on the for tomorrow that I'm excited to see is Tennessee versus Ohio State. Tennessee is going to Ohio State. The ninth seed Tennessee Volunteers going to Ohio State, the eighth seed. I feel like Ohio State's going to have their tail in between the legs because, you know, they lost to Michigan for the fourth straight year. And the dramatic fight afterwards, people getting pepper sprayed, I think I don't know. I feel like that may have been their season down the drain. I feel like Ryan Day has to win the national championship to be returning to Ohio State after that.
But are they allowed to plant a flag in the middle of the field?
It may be a felony from here on out, according to Ohio State representatives. But yeah, that whole scene, I worry that Ohio State's they've kind of thrown in the towel after they kept prove me wrong, and they may have lit a fire to go win the national championship. But yeah, I feel like they're gonna have their work cut out for them. Even this game being at home, let me tell you, Tennessee fans travel, especially with it being the first 12-team playoff, the first college football playoff that Tennessee's ever been in. And you know how Tennessee fans are; they're rowdy. So they're gonna go up to Ohio and show out for sure. But I think I actually expect Tennessee to win this game because of that reason. I think the fans will travel. I think Ohio State's kind of got their tail between their legs after losing to Michigan and maybe overlooking the Volunteers a little bit because roster-wise on paper, Ohio State's got the better team, but Tennessee's had to play in a much tougher conference, and so they almost got nothing to lose. So I expect Tennessee to win this game, and the winner of this game will play Oregon, who is the number one seed, which is a tough game for either team to win. But yeah, I expect Tennessee to pull off the upset in that one of being the ninth seed, upsetting the eighth seed of Ohio State, which a lot of people thought would win the national championship on their roster. I think they spent, what, $12 to $20 million on their roster, Ohio State did. So, and they still couldn't beat Michigan.
I'm still getting over the idea that college teams can spend to get a roster.
It's NFL free agency, pretty much.
It's a warm-up for the NFL.
Not only are they disappointed the fans with losing to Michigan, but if they get bounced around one of the playoffs, Ryan Day, maybe bye-bye, the coach, which is crazy. But we'll see if the Volunteers can pull off the win. I expect that they will.
So you expecting a close game or a big loss?
I think it will be close. With it being at Ohio State, I think that would make it a close game either way. But I think Tennessee has they have a lot less to lose, and also they didn't just lose to their rival for the fourth straight year. So yeah. I think they're more on the up, while Ohio State just finished with a and now they gotta find the energy to get back into it again. So
you can't
loss
walk
of momentum.
That cat backwards.
You cannot walk that cat backwards.
all right, what's number three?
All right, well, next I'm going to talk about the next upset that I think will happen of SMU going to Penn State. The number 11 seed SMU playing number 6 seed Penn State. This game will be in Happy Valley, wideout game, which I have been to a wideout game, and it is everything. It's the hype is correct. It's awesome atmosphere. But I don't know. This one's kind of more off a gut feel than anything because SMU, you know, obviously they got in over Alabama, had some people questioning if that should have been so. They lost the ACC championship to Clemson, but it was a down-to-the-wire game. They made a valiant comeback, and they lost because Clemson made a 50-yard field goal. So it was not like a blowout ACC championship. But the SMU team is a fun team to watch. They're a lot more explosive than Penn State, I would think. And Penn State just lost in the Big Ten championship to Oregon. But the only two ranked teams besides Illinois, which I don't even really count that one because Illinois finished like 8-4 or something. But Penn State lost to Ohio State at home, and then they lost to Oregon. So they're 1-2 against ranked opponents, and James Franklin, the head coach, can't win the big game. That's his big thing that people bash him about. So I don't know. I feel like SMU is kind of like in the same boat as Tennessee. They don't have much to lose. They're you know, excited. They got into the playoff. They're going to Happy Valley. So, again, sort of like a back against your wall sort of feeling. Penn State may be overlooking SMU as being the 11th seed. They're playing at home. It's a wideout game. This is my gut is telling me SMU will pull off the upset in this one.
Okay, so it's not because you're an Alabama fan, you just want to know that the one that beat you out is really the one that can go all the way.
It's not
at all.
Well, also, I got a cousin that plays for Penn State, so you would think my bias would be towards Penn State, but I got to go with my gut on this one's telling me SMU. They're going to lose next I think either team will lose next round to Boise State because Ashton Gentry, after being robbed of the Heisman, is going to have he's going to have a lot to play for. Yeah. So I think either team would lose in the next round, but I think SMU, I got to pick some upsets in this one. I think that would be the big upset first round.
Okay, well, that would be huge, and it would also be, is this the first time SMU has been, and I realize we didn't have this kind of bowl series
playoff.
Thank you. Yeah. Before, but is this the first time SMU has been at this much hype level?
Oh yeah, for sure. And this is their first year in a power conference. There in the they were in the Big 12, I think, last year. I can't remember, but they're in the ACC. So this is for sure the best SMU team I would say ever. And pulling off an upset against Penn State round one would that would be program-defining win right there for them. So
not bad for a bunch of Methodists.
No, it's not. Not at all. A bunch of Mustang Methodists.
Mustang Methodists. All right. So all three of your top three stories deal with playoff games.
College football playoffs that start tonight and tomorrow. But the two-minute warning will be a cornucopia of a bunch of different topics.
Cornucopia. Yeah. I like it. All right. Well, speaking of which, that's JP on Sports Round 1.
Wow. Yeah. Sorry, my bad.
All right. Now walk that cat backwards. All right, so we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back, and we go into Round 2, which is called the two-minute warning. He gets 2 minutes for any topic on anything on sports, and I've got a timer and a buzzer. Phil Williams. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, just pulling pins on truth grenades all day long, y'all. All right, we're going to round two of what we like to call JP on Sports. JP has his own radio show, 9 to 11 on Saturday mornings on The Ump out of Huntsville, which they can find on what FM, do you recall?
103.9 FM, 7:30 a.m., and also on The Ump app. Which has been having issues lately, but I believe issues have been resolved.
Okay,
so
cool.
Check us out.
9 to 11 every Saturday. All right, so JP on Sports is like pretty cool, pretty solid. But the second round of JP on Sports is the most interesting, in my opinion. Now, the whole thing is interesting, but you know what I'm saying? How he flies through a variety of topics. 2 minutes each. We call it the two-minute warning. I've got a timer and a buzzer. First 2 minutes, go.
All right, so in the world of baseball, it's free agency time, so we're seeing a lot of people come off the board, a lot of record-breaking contracts, and one of them being, unfortunately, a Braves player got picked up. The largest contract for a left-hand pitcher in MLB history, Max Fried, signed with the Yankees for eight years and $218 million.
Wow.
So, unfortunately, another Brave player that it seems like there's a cycle, right? Of a Braves player becomes a star on the Braves and he becomes very wealthy and valuable. And then the contract ends and then a high market team or a big market team like the Yankees or Dodgers comes in and offers them the GDP of Argentina or something. And they leave and they go bye-bye. So I think this is another episode of that with the Braves, unfortunately.
Why is Atlanta not considered a big market team? That's a huge city.
Well,
huge.
Yeah, it's just, the Yankees and Dodgers, those type of cities, they have filthy money. Let me just say that.
Filthy money.
It's they sit at the top and they could buy anybody they want to buy, really. So unfortunately, this is another episode of that. So Dansby left to go to the Cubs. Freddie left to go to the Dodgers. And now Fried has gone to the Yankees. Three of the most beloved players on the 2021 World Series team are now no longer on the Braves. So, the Braves still are going to be really good. And they had Chris Sale, who won the Cy Young this year for the award for best pitcher. So they're going to be fine. It's just it hurts to see fan favorites leave to go to other teams. So it's unfortunate. But also, I'm glad the Braves didn't spend $218 million on them because that is just absurd. a lot of money.
That just almost feels dirty.
Yeah, it does. And that doesn't even touch what Juan Soto signed with the Mets for, which was the largest contract in history of, $730 million? So, yeah.
All right, hit it. There you go. All right, there's the first 2 minutes. Next 2 minutes starts. Retro reset the clock. Go.
All right, well, in the world of college basketball, Alabama and Auburn are still going on, right along. Auburn is sitting at number 2 right now. They destroyed Ohio State. They won by 40. And then Alabama, they went up to North Dakota, right, because one of Alabama's players is from North Dakota. Nate Oates said he wanted to do him a favor, go up and so all of his family could come see. So they played North Dakota, the University of North Dakota, who is 4-8 in the Summit League. And struggled. They struggled for a little bit in there. They ended up winning by like 9 or so or something, but it looked like one of those games where the players didn't quite Well, you have to think about it. They flew to North Dakota, so I assume jet lag was a problem. And it looked,
there's no jet lag to North Dakota. There's no jet lag.
Just a little. And it looked like they were maybe overlooking North Dakota. University of North Dakota had somebody drop 40 in the game. He shot like 7 for 13 from 3. He could not miss, so that contributed. Anytime Al Bama would do something, North Dakota would just pass it to this dude in the corner, and he would make a 3, and it's like, okay, well, what do you do?
Dude put up 40 points against Alabama?
Yeah, and he's now made a name for himself. His name is, I can't remember his first name, his last name is Eagle Staff for North Dakota.
Eagle Staff.
And he's become very popular after that game, probably boosted his value to go somewhere and make some NIL money, probably, hopefully to Alabama. But nonetheless, Alabama got the win, so that's all that matters. But it was not a fun watch. So hopefully Alabama can rebound, and the next game will be at Coleman, I believe on the 23rd, and then they'll be off for Christmas. But yeah, the IBOB continues to be a something that's marked on the calendar as a top five matchup. Hopefully Alabama's at 6, Auburn's at 2, so that would be a really fun top five matchup of Alabama and Auburn. The first game will be in Tuscaloosa. So
I think I'll.
Start playing some Meatloaf.
The Meatloaf Monday, bud.
All right, so that's two of the 2-minute warnings. You got another one? Go for it.
So in this world of NIL and college sports as a whole, Alabama had a very interesting episode of that. So there's a very highly touted freshman at Alabama named Jalen Bakwe. Him and Ryan Williams are like best friends. They played in the high school state championship, like, I think 3 years in a row, but he was a very solid corner for Alabama. He was going to be one of the, hopefully one of the starters, maybe not this year. He got offered a 7-figure contract by Ole Miss to transfer, and it looked like he was going to. He entered the transfer portal and all.
Which means Lane Kiffin recruited him.
Yeah, when he wasn't even in the portal when he offered them that. So that I kind of figured he was leaving, and he entered the portal, so I thought it was done. But, you know, with inside sources in the new world of college football, you know, people hear about stuff fast. And around 11 o'clock that night, some people start chirping. It looked like that Alabama matched his offer and looked like he was going to be coming back. So that night was a very fun night on it looked like everybody stayed up to talk about that. But Alabama ended up matching Jalen Bakwe's offer from Ole Miss and got him to stay. And apparently also in that offer was a guarantee that he can play both ways, offense and defense, for Alabama this year.
The kids are negotiating contracts now.
They are.
This is where we are. This is nuts.
But, yeah, I'm very glad that Alabama kept him because that would have sucked to have him leave.
No, Alabama bought him back.
Well, Alabama had to buy him back because, like Ole Miss was going to steal him away illegally. So, but yeah, that's the world we're in. But it looks like Jalen Bakwe will be coming back to Alabama after Ole Miss tried to buy him away for what, 7 figures. So,
God, jeez. Okay.
But I'm happy to have him back. Yay.
Oh my gosh. All right. You got more? We got more? We got time? Let's go for it.
Sure. Well, we got about 20 seconds, but there's a heavyweight boxing title match tomorrow night. Of Tyson Fury versus
still a sport?
Alexander Usyk. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm a big MMA guy, but I still like to watch the boxing every now and then. So if any of you want to watch a heavyweight boxing match, the title fight's tomorrow night, go check it out.
And I still think Tyson Fury might be the best boxing name ever enter the ring.
He's a beast. 6'9".
I mean, your name is Tyson Fury.
Yeah, that's a great name.
All right, good job, man. Listen, things are crazy in D.C. right now, but we are expecting and hoping a call from Congressman Gary Palmer to call in here momentarily. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.